Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. Set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. There's no need to pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit
90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm just a, no, I'm not going to do that bit.
You're not going to do what bit?
I don't know. I'm doing really well. I mean, today is a big day.
Yes. In the world of Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, it's a huge day. If you didn't see our tweet from like 3 days ago when this comes out, today is the day we hit 10,000 downloads, total downloads, since we started the podcast 8 months ago.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Jessica?
It's pretty amazing, honestly. The funny thing is it's exactly 8 months to the day. And I realized that when I tweeted, I put 9 months because I'm an idiot. And I don't know why.
I mean, that's why, that once again, this is what you do. Like, every single time we talk about when we start our podcast, you are, like, switch around the day. It's like,
I just can't keep track. Yeah.
I don't understand. Like,
I don't know.
We started it, I guess, on September 3rd.
That was when we released the first podcast.
But then you're always like October, November. It's like, what are you talking about?
Time has no meaning when you're in a pandemic.
I guess not. But no, like, it's awesome. Like, I never would have thought that we would get, I mean, we always said, like, we were doing this. I mean, honestly, this whole podcast was a way that I can get you on the phone once a week.
Just a way, please, once a week. It's like two or three times a week.
Now. I mean, now we're in a surplus.
Yes, you know? we have a surplus amount of talking. But yeah, no, it's really crazy. Like, I never would have guessed we would have gotten this many downloads. And it's really awesome. So thank you to anybody and everybody who's listened, who's downloaded, who's told a friend about it. If you have.
Right.
We really appreciate
to
it.
To our guests that's come on and, like, taken a chance on us. Like, we had some really awesome guests, like, when our podcast was super green and you took a chance and you spent time with us when you totally didn't have to. I know you're not listening to this now because you're a big deal, but I'm just going to put it out into the ether and tell you that I appreciate you.
Yeah, for anybody who's listened, who's, you know, liked a tweet, liked an Instagram post, we appreciate you. And we're happy you came along on this ride with us. Like, it's been a great 8 months, and it's kind of crazy that 10,000 downloads in 8 months. Like, that's over 1,000 a month. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got like so nostalgic today. I was like looking back in our old DMs and like looking how like this whole thing started.
Yeah, do you want to spoil what the original, like we were, when we were trying to come up with names for the podcast? I think you had suggested a few until we landed
on this one. Yeah, I suggested, so,
I found like, it.
Oh, it was, you found it.
Yeah, I had an idea of Blank and Other Lies, the 90s shows taught me. That was what you first said.
So, like, I was thinking, like, yeah, like, you know, maybe, I don't know what I was thinking, like, but, like, oh, like,
hold on. You said, you said, I guess the title would be whatever we came up with, and the second part would be in parentheses.
Right. So, like, I don't know, like, I think, like, my idea was, like, I don't know, you get your girlfriend, like, the, you know, from 11 years old and other shit that 90s shows taught you. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, such a long title. I know what you mean.
But yeah. Then I was like, oh, but it'll be in parentheses. It's fine. I also think, like, one of my other suggestions were, like, my TV boyfriend and, like, did you record it or some bullshit? Now, like,
we
that?
Have to look back all the way back there. Yeah, because then I said, what about something like things 90s shows taught me or shit 90s shows taught me if we're sassy?
And then I guess we were like, yeah, we're sassy.
Fucking sassy.
We're sassy. So that's where we landed. I mean, we did get a little bit of question like, oh, like, can you say shit? Like, can you put that in there? What about the, like, the not geometrics. The geometrics.
The geometrics? What the fuck are you talking about? Geometrics.
The geometrics.
What are you talking about? You're talking about like when, no, what are you talking about?
Analytics? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think
what's
I know
the
what
word?
Mean.
I'm not a scientist.
Like when people are trying to find us?
Yes. Analytics? No. Okay, whatever. I'm not a scientist.
I think people know what you mean, maybe.
Like how people find you.
Oh, here we go. I found the other ones you said. My first TV boyfriend, did you tape it? Like a play on how we had to record stuff on an actual VCR tape back in the day.
I'm a genius. Who knew? Who knew? No. Yeah, like how people, I mean, like how is it hard for people to find you if you have a curse word in your name? And we said, fuck that. Like, whatever. If they find us, they'll find us.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing I think we were mainly concerned about was whether or not we should put the asterisk where the I was in the word shit.
And we weren't did at sure. First.
We did, but then it was, like, harder to find the podcast, so we ended
because
up changing
Because then we were
it.
Like, we call it Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. And right, then we're we don't, like, yeah. Let's just commit, you know?
Right, yeah. And the only thing that ends up being, not even an issue, I would say, but just, like, somewhat of a problem is, like, if we guest on other podcasts where they don't really swear, then it ends up being either Stuff 90s Shows Taught Me or, like,
Shit.
Shite 90s Shows Taught Me. Or,
S-H-I-T you know. 90s shows. I mean, yeah. Whatever. It is Listen, what it fine. Is. We're here. We're committed. We're fine. We can't change it now. I mean, I guess we could, but we won't.
No, but why would we? I love it. We're fine. Sassy, remember?
We're sassy. If we're feeling sassy.
If we're feeling sassy. I just think that's the funniest thing.
I think that's because it was like towards, I mean, I feel like we're treating this like our 100th episode. It's so dramatic.
We really are. It's like, remember that time a year ago?
It's not even. Or like on our friendiversary. But I think it was because like, it's like, I don't know. Like that was like towards like, more towards the beginning of our friendship, like we were,
yeah, like that was in August of 2020. Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we didn't know each other as well as we do each other now. Like now, right. We're just like now we just say stuff like outright. And mm-hmm. I feel like if we were proposing like a new podcast name is be like you'd be like, well, we're bad bitches, and of course we're shit 90s shows taught me. But like because like we were still kind of new-ish friends, you were like, are we sassy? And it's like, well, fuck yeah, we're sassy.
Yeah. Yeah, because we had only been friends for a few months at that point. So
right,
like,
I know. Yeah, I mean that's the biggest gag of it all, guys. We're a scam. Like we act like we're like BFFs, and like we are, maybe
we are, but it's we are, but not in the way of like, oh my gosh, not like a Sean and Corey type of friendship where like you've known each other for like ever, like right. We haven't even known each other a full year yet.
Fast friends.
Well, because we immediately became friends. It was like instantaneous. Like we were friends before you even knew I existed. That's what it was.
Okay, I have the clip, and I'm saving that for our friendiversary, and that's not how it went down.
That is how it went down, yes. That's how it went down, because yes, it was.
Okay, fuck this. You guys, tune in. Oh, I almost spilt my drink. You tune in for June 28th, when I reveal the first interaction that Jessica and I had, and you will see how I was the one that initiated our friendship.
I didn't say you didn't initiate it. I said that I was friends with you before you knew that I was.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I started this whole thing. You'll see. Okay. You'll see. Put it in the books. Wait and see. Where's people. The books?
You put it in the calendar.
You take care of the books. I don't take care of the books.
But yes, so we're celebrating today. We have our 90s nightcap, obviously, because it is a momentous occasion. I'm drinking. I talked about this last time, I think, the 1911 brand of hard cider. I really enjoy it. This time I'm drinking the Snapdragon. I prefer the black cherry one, but this one's actually pretty good. What are you drinking today?
I am drinking another margarita.
Booyah, booyah.
Booyah, booyah. Now that I've opened up the tequila, there's no stopping me now.
No. That's what they say. Once you open the tequila, you can't stop me.
Yeah. And like, do you see me? Like, I salted my rim and I'm keep like eating the salt because I haven't eaten dinner yet.
That. I was wondering what was on the side. I thought it was like your lip gloss had like come off on the cup. Ew! What?
Jessica.
Not that you were eating your lip gloss. I just saw it on the cup and I thought it was like your lip gloss had like come off on the side.
No. I'm eating. I haven't eaten dinner yet, so I'm just eating salt.
Oh, this seems like a very bad idea. I haven't had dinner yet, but I'm drinking margaritas.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't bring the margarita pitcher up with me. I have one, and that's it. And then I have my Poland Spring water. Please go to your local ShopRite and buy a 3-pack of 24 cases of Poland Spring water.
Please sponsor us, Poland Spring. We love you.
Three for $10. What a bargain. And if you have a coupon, sometimes you can get 3 for $9 at the ShopRite.
We love ShopRite, too. ShopRite, you can also sponsor us.
ShopRite saves you big bucks.
There you go. Are you ready to get into Boy Meets World today? Because that's what we're here to talk about, not how amazing we are for getting 10,000 downloads.
Yes, please skip ahead 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Of course.
All right, so today we're talking season 2, episodes 18 and 19. Episode 18, by hook or by crook? Interestingly enough, I feel like this is the first episode where like Corey's not like the main character.
Absolutely. It's like all Eric all day. Absolutely. Corey and Sean were only in a few scenes each, and this is the first episode that exclusively focuses on Eric and on Feeny. And funnily enough, I thought this was a really good episode, and like maybe we don't need Corey all along.
I kind of agree with you. Like it wasn't necessarily like that we don't need Corey. It was more just like, wow, like I'm actually really enjoying Eric. And I felt like if they had dedicated more time to him earlier on in the show, maybe like I would have cared about him a little bit more.
Right. Yeah.
Because I had a big problem. I had a big problem with him in season one. I felt like he was just like a troll to Corey constantly. And this episode, I really actually enjoyed it.
I think this is my favorite Eric episode, or like favorite showing of Eric in the entire series thus far that we've seen. One other trivia fact, along with a stormy weather, the Witches of Pembroke, and this episode is the one of only three episodes in which Ben Savage and Ryder Strong do not share a scene. So there's only three episodes where they don't share a scene in the entire episode, and this is one of three.
That's very interesting to know.
Yes.
Wow. They were in a lot of scenes together.
Jeez. Well, they're BFFs. What can you say?
It's true.
So, yeah. I thought this was a really great showing for Eric. I liked him a lot. This is probably like my favorite Eric that we've seen thus far. And mm-hmm. I wish that, I mean, we could possibly see more of this Eric. I'm assuming probably a bit more, but this is, I really liked him. Like, I thought that, you know, we had like Eric being a little bit of a dum-dum, but mostly being a moral person and an interesting character.
Yeah, I think this definitely rounded him out as a character. We've only ever seen him be, like, girl crazy and pretty stupid. And, like, I thought this was, like, a much... It really gave more depth to him as a character.
Yeah.
So we start off, him and Jason want to go to Europe over the summer. So they need to get their grades up in order to do so. Because apparently, even though they want to go to Europe, Eric really sucks at European history.
Yeah. So he's like rocking the C minuses. And Alan and Amy say that you have to at least get a B if you want to go to Europe. They're going to like backpack or something across Europe. Which I feel like for a 16/17-year-old... that's, like, a lot to, like, let your 17-year-old backpack across Europe.
I thought the same thing. I was like, holy crap. And first of all, like, where are they getting all the money to send him over to Europe, too? Like,
Jesus Christ. He quit his job. I have no fucking clue. But yeah. I do remember in high school there were these special trips for, like, juniors and seniors to go off to Europe. Mm-hmm. And in my school, at least, like, my best friend did it. But I never got the opportunity. I don't know if this was, like, some, like, rich kid shit or, like, gifted and talented.
Sounds like rich kid shit.
I think it's gifted and talented and rich kid shit. I'm not quite sure. So yeah. I remember my friend 110% going to Italy, like, sophomore or senior year of high school in the summer. I think it was not sophomore. I think it was between junior and senior year when mm-hmm. she went in the summer. So I don't know if this is like a school associated thing. Or...
It didn't seem like it. No. I mean, I don't think the school would be letting them go to like nudie beaches. So maybe they were going to sneak off and go. But yeah, so they're like game to do that. Meanwhile, we're in Turner's class. Corey's out sick. And we find out that Turner's motorcycle got like basically run over. Poor Turner.
Which should honestly be the first sign that he should give up the bike.
100%. But
motorcycles are dangerous, and he seems to have very bad luck with this motorcycle that we see in these two episodes. And this is the point in his life where he should be like, you know what?
I'm too old for this.
I value my life. Like, I don't know if he's supposed to be like 32 maybe in this episode. Like, maybe he's supposed to be like my age. But even so, like, put down the motorcycle. It's time. But I love that Sean comes up and he has like a whole stack of family business cards because you know he has like a family member in every single like sketchy corner of business.
But like that's the good news, right? Like it's good to know people. Like if you have a trusted mechanic, like you can't go wrong with that shit, honestly.
I know. Absolutely not.
Not that Uncle Mike is to be trusted.
So, yeah. Sean says, you got to go to my Uncle Mike. Like, he'll take care of you. Like, he owns a motorcycle repair shop. Like, you're good. He accidentally gives a car to his other uncle, which is Lucky Leo's Bail Bonds and Prosthetics. One way or another will get you on your feet.
That was very funny.
A very funny joke. But yeah.
Yeah, I liked that from Sean. And I really like Sean this episode as well. I thought this was a really strong episode overall. And I really like them giving Sean moments to shine on his own where, like you said, he doesn't have any scenes with Corey. But we see that he's really good even without Corey. And it's kind of the beginning of the Turner-Sean relationship, you know, yes, diving deeper into that, which I really love.
Absolutely. Because before this, it's honestly was a lot of Corey and Turner.
Right.
And this, I think, is the first time, like, we kind of saw, like, Turner, like, show, like, interest in both Corey and Sean as a duo. Mm-hmm. But this was the beginning where we started to, like, turn a little bit to be more focused on Sean, which, as you guys probably know, if you're, you know, not a first-time Boy Meets World watcher, that is like a big focal point in seasons, like late season 2 and season 3 is the relationship of like Turner taking care of Sean because Sean loses his family essentially.
Right. Right. And so I love that this is kind of the beginning. Like, I know we haven't been the highest on season two in general, but I will say, like, there are a lot of, like, really great nuggets and, like, beginning of things in season two.
It's, like, a setup. It's a setup for seasons three and four. So
exactly. So I really like that we're going through. I mean, obviously, we're going to go through it anyway. But I really like that we're, like, seeing the beginnings here. And they're just tiny nuggets at this point. But now we're in Feeny's class, and Eric has Feeny as a teacher too, apparently. Fucking Feeny teaches everybody.
Yeah, I guess he teaches like all grades of history.
Right. So we see that Feeny is giving his nephew an F plus.
Yeah, I like this. I thought this was so funny. He's like, F plus work, you get F plus. Your work is deplorable. Your writing is illegible. But your mother is my sister. So what am I going to do? I guess I'll just see you on Thanksgiving.
So ridiculous. And so basically, Jason and Eric want to like ask Feeny to bump up their grades or something ridiculous. Like, you know Feeny better than this. He's never going to do that. And I think Feeny says, like, why don't we give elephants pants? Maybe they'd be inspired to buy coats.
Yeah. So essentially, Feeny is like, you know what, you can either study or you can, you know, be tutored by the senior teaching assistant. Mm-hmm. And Jason agreed to Feeny that they'll get tutored, which pisses Eric off because he doesn't want to hang out with a loser nerd. And lo and behold, it's this girl, Tori Hart. And of course, she's a knockout, like, you know.
Gorgeous. And she has, I don't know how to describe it, but she has a voice that is like mesmerizing. How I imagine like Farrah Fawcett sounds. Like, it's very like ethereal and like airy.
I love her voice. I love her voice. So
it's sexy.
Yeah. This actress is Terry Evans, IVENS. And she has been working. Like, she's been working consistently. Like, her main thing is that she was in a heap ton of All My Children episodes. So she became a soap actress. And, you know, she's still working to this day. She's in, like, pre-production for a new TV series called Lockwood. And, yeah, like, she has an amazing voice. Like, I wish my voice sounded like that because it's sultry and sexy and mysterious and everything. She's from California, but she just has an amazing voice.
Yeah, no, fantastic. She did a really good job playing the character of Tori. And of course Eric sees her and is like, oh, okay, never mind. Like, I'm all in.
I guess I'll be tutored, no problem. Yes.
Now we're back at the Matthews residence. We find out Corey has mono. Topanga brought over his homework. And when she finds out, oh, it's a kissing disease. She demands to know who he kissed, and he just like pretends to be asleep.
Yeah, having mono when you were a teenager or a middle schooler was the most scandalous thing that could have existed. Mm-hmm. I think it just is pretty obvious that I never got mono in my existence.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So I don't know even, like, what is mono? Like, what's the symptoms? Like,
I think it's, like, flu-like symptoms. Like, I'm pretty sure it just, your, like, full body aches, like, that type of thing.
Yeah, I can't relate. Did get the swine flu, which is probably more fitting for me anyway.
Yeah, so Topanga's, like, very upset. And this is, like, also, again, little nuggets. Like, this is the episode where, like, Topanga admits to Corey that she, like, likes him. And it's, like, such a weird, like, who would have known, like, if you had asked me, like, what was the episode that Topanga did this in? I would not have guessed that it was, like, an Eric-centric episode.
No. No, and that's crazy. That's kind of, like, the Au episode, because it's the same kind of thing. It's, like, there was the first, like, kiss where it was like a good kiss that they both wanted,
and they both, just like drop it in there out of nowhere
in the worst episode in the entire series.
Oh yes, that one was awful. No, 100%. Sorry, go ahead.
My only other thing about the scene is that, like, I like how she was like stacking the homework, and she just gave him like a 2x4, and she's like, yeah, this is your shop class homework. And Corey is like, yeah, I'm like done, I made a shelf.
Yeah, so that was smart. Funny. Just need some brackets and he's good to go.
Yeah.
We're back in Feeny's class, and Tori's giving Why did I put Jacob in my notes? Tori's giving Jason like his huge book for homework. He hits on her and she like instantly rejects him. She's just like, not gonna happen.
Yeah, bye boy.
Yes. And so then Eric comes in and she's like smitten kitten. She like, but she does first like critique. She's like, you don't seem to write much about history in your history essays. She's like, it's done. It's over. Let's move on.
Yeah. I think like a lot of us have had that perspective on history. I had the hardest time being interested in history as a kid because of the same sort of thing. Like, it's old news. It's boring. It's like, fucking A, Sarah. Like, this is, like, history is stories. Like, of all the subjects, why were you putting so much, like, hatred towards history? That's probably the most interesting subject.
Yeah. I do think that part of it is, if you don't have the right teacher, it's hard to realize that it's stories. Because I think, like, so many people put emphasis on names and dates, which, and geography, which, like, three of my worst like subjects or like things to know. I'm not good with names, I'm not good with dates, and I'm not good with geography. And so I feel like if you look past that and you just learn the stories, then you're better off. But you know, a lot of times like quizzes are like, oh, what date was this particular war on? And
right,
it's like, that's not really teaching you anything, right?
Right. Yeah.
So no, I agree with you though. But Tori doesn't seem to, she's like, let's go somewhere more comfortable. Like, okay, Tori, like,
okay, sure, sounds sure, why good.
now we're in Uncle Mike's motorcycle repair. Turner brings in his bike. Uncle Mike was like, honestly, so funny. He was so good in this episode.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that Uncle Mike is the delivery guy from TK's episode. So he like, we do see him again. So he is no longer delivering candy clowns. He is now a mechanic. And yes, he is like being super sketch because obviously like this family is probably up to like a little bit of no good. So he wants to like pat Turner down. He wants to know if he's wearing a wire. I like how like Sean is like child labor laws too. Like Sean like fully is like working in the mechanic shop.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how Sean is like the alpha in this situation.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, how are we going to treat him? He's like family. And he's like, no, not like family. And Uncle Mike is so sweet in that, like, he's so proud of Sean. He's like, Sean's the scholar of the family. And Turner definitely thinks he's like joking. And I just thought that I loved being able to see Sean and a family member because we really haven't seen that yet.
We have not yet. No.
And so I really thought that it was sweet how, like, his uncle is like so proud of him, and how Sean like stood up to his uncle. I just thought that was a very sweet scene with them.
Yeah. So like Uncle Mike quotes Turner $300, which seems like a great deal considering how disastrous the bike sounds.
I know, his bike got run over. Like, yeah, good, $300.
Very good deal.
Yeah, seriously.
And which is very reasonable because Turner is on a teacher's salary. He cannot afford to fix his bike for a lot of money because he has to pay rent and he has to pay for his bike and he wants to eat more than black licorice.
Absolutely. So they're getting that worked out. Meanwhile, they're Tori and Eric are at Chubby's. Tori has a crush on Eric, but like Eric's like, we have to study. And Tori offers to give Eric the answers to the test, which, like, pretty shitty tutor, if you ask me.
Right, yeah. So, but he does when she gives him, like, a good kiss, and, like, we leave this scene not knowing, like, what he ultimately decides.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the next scene, it's the next day, they just took the test, it was a really, really hard test. Eric says he left half the test blank, and then he admits to Jason that he could have taken the test scores, but he didn't want to cheat. Like, he wanted to earn the grade at his own merit. Then Feeny comes around, and he says Jason got a B and Eric got an A-. Well, how did he possibly get an A- if he left half the test blank?
Also, it's insane to me that Feeny already has these tests graded. And, like, especially considering he couldn't have used a Scantron because he had, like, multiple choice up to, like, V, which is insane. So like, I don't know how Feeny is like a magic grader. Maybe he has people that do it for him, but
no, well,
insane.
He said that he had a special interest specifically on how, Jason and Eric did. So he just graded theirs. Yeah. To see like how they did, because they're supposed to be studying harder and they have the tutor.
Right. So Eric is in the hallway with Tori, and he basically is like, why did you do that? I wanted to get a good grade for myself to prove that I could do it. And Tori's like, oh, thank you for leaving those blank. It was so much easier to fill them in for you.
Yeah.
And Eric is, like, insulted because he knows that Tori doesn't believe in him. Like, he knows that she, like, didn't even think he could do it on his own. And Eric's like, I'm not just, like, a pretty face. I'm not a bimbo, you know, like, which is all Tori basically thinks of him.
Yeah.
Which and I really liked because it's, like, it's, you know, I feel like we usually see Eric leaning on his good looks.
Right, yes.
And we finally see him being like, that's not all there is to me.
Right, yeah. And, like, you know, she's being, like, pretty condescending. And, like, she's just like, you know, why do you want to be seen as smart? You have so much going on for you. You're charming. Mm-hmm. You're funny. You have these kissable little dimples. Of course, Eric accidentally goes into the girl's bathroom. But to be honest, last episode, that was labeled as the boys' bathroom. So I would be confused, too.
I thought the same thing. I was like, am I going crazy? Was that not Feeny's office and then the boys' bathroom? And now it's the girls' bathroom because Harley went in that one.
So absolutely. It's like,
what is going on? Absolutely. Why change it to the girls' bathroom just for this scene?
So, like, let's pretend like they're different hallways, though. Like, how is it possible that each hallway looks identical to the next in this school? It's insanity.
They literally changed it just for this scene. And now we're going to have to keep an eye out to see if it's boys' bathroom next time around because I don't remember the next episode. If it
is, but that's crazy. Yeah. That's what it's been. Feeny's office. It's been the boys' bathroom, and now it's the girls' bathroom. It changes.
Did they think we wouldn't notice?
I know. Can you can you imagine if we live in a world where, like, they keep changing this room over and over again?
It's gonna be Jennifer Budd's closet next.
Yeah, it's like shit. Fuck. Like, I thought this was the boys' bathroom, and then somebody be like, "Yeah, it was just yesterday." And then in reality, I keep thinking that it's like the room of requirement from Harry Potter. It's whatever you need it to be.
Needs it to be.
Yeah. It's like, oh, like, I really need a girl's bathroom right now. It's like, oh, boop. Like, it's magically the girl's bathroom.
I feel like this is, like, another situation of, like, the Heathers, where it's like we need, like, the serial music of, like, what's going on with this room? First it was Feeny's office. Now it's a boys' bathroom.
Now, Jess, we can't use it that often. We just used it. I know.
We can't do that bit so many times. But seriously, it's ridiculous. Did they think we wouldn't notice? Seriously. Anyway.
Seven-year-olds don't notice. 30-year-olds notice.
That's fair. What else do we have going on besides looking out for what bathroom doors are labeled?
Not much.
We're back at Uncle Mike's motorcycle shop, and Turner's picking up the bike. Uncle Mike, because Turner doesn't believe it's his bike, and Uncle Mike's like, don't worry, I filed off the serial number for you.
I threw that in for free.
Yeah. He charges him $1,500, which is five times as much as originally promised.
Yes.
Sean gets very upset with Uncle Mike. And he says labor took 1,600 hours. And it's like, well, it felt like it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Sean is like, sticks up for Mr. Turner, gets into Uncle Mike's face. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you hurt him, I hurt you. And then Uncle Mike is like, is that a threat? And Sean's like, yes. And he's like, I've never been so proud. Your mother would be so proud if she was alive to see this. And Sean's like, well, Vera's alive.
Yeah. Yep. He's like, oh, I should call her sometime.
Yeah.
So he does give Turner the deal for $300 to get his bike.
Good deal.
All is well. Very good deal. Yeah.
Very good deal.
Back at the Matthews residence, Eric is studying at midnight. I have a question. I'm very confused about this. Eric just had a test. Now he's studying for another test the same week?
It doesn't seem fair. Maybe it's like a test in a midterm. Like, it's a lot, Feeny. And, like, you're really giving these kids, like, a run for their money.
That's why I was so lost. I'm like, I don't understand because Corey's sick this whole time. And you're not sick with mono for, like, more than a week. So it's crazy to me that you would have two major tests in one week.
Yeah, I just think that Feeny is, like, a real asshole. And he just keeps, like, he's the one that does, like, has a test and then a midterm the same week. Bullshit like that.
No, that makes sense. Alan comes downstairs. He's all proud of Eric. Eric is, like, feeling stressed. So he calls Tori to see if she can help him, like, tell him, like, at least the areas he should be focusing on. Because it's, like, more than he thought he was going to have to study. And she just immediately starts giving him the answers.
I know. And she's just like, I don't see any other way how you're going to possibly pass this test and get to Europe if I don't give these answers to you. At She's least the write them down.
Shittiest tutor of all time.
Or the best tutor. Or the best.
I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Depends on how you look at it. Could be a good tutor. I mean, I wish that any tutor that I went to gave me these same props, but I am not a hot boy that is 16. So.
Yeah. So Eric writes down the answers, and then we flash to the scene in Feeny's class where you see him cheating. So he did take the bait.
Yeah, he does the whole, like, hand on the... writing shit on your hand.
Obvious.
Which you don't do. I mean, like, nowadays, these kids write shit on their Band-Aids. Like, you gotta step up your game. You write it on your water bottle.
Write it on the inside of your shirt, you know?
Nothing on the hand. Especially because if it's not sneeze-proof.
Right. As we learn later.
As you learn later.
Yeah, so we see Eric cheating. Eric gets home, and Amy and Alan are, like, super excited because Feeny told them that he got his good grade up, a full letter grade. They even got him, like, a backpacking backpack as, like, a reward. And, of course, this just makes him feel, like, even worse about cheating.
Yeah.
And he immediately leaves.
I know. I mean, Eric's a good kid. Like, he did not want to cheat. But, you know, it's, like, at this point, it's, like, you know, it's the... you know, fact of proving yourself, and it's the fact that he really wants to go to Europe. So it's like, it's hard. Like, if you're given these answers, it's like, I want to know, like, how many people in this universe would, you know, ignore the answers and not cheat, or if they would, like, I mean, knowing you probably wouldn't cheat. Knowing me, I probably would. Like, if I'm given the answers, then I don't know. They're right in front of me.
I think it would just eat away at me. I think the thing that, like, to me seems... I mean, obviously he can't... He wants to go, like, to Europe and everything. But I feel like underreported story is if he doesn't get his grades up, he also is going to be in summer school. Which, like, no kid wants to be in summer school. So I feel like that's also, like, another thing that even pushes him into cheating even more.
Did you ever go to summer school? Mm-mm. Did you... Okay, no. So number one... Drew opted to go to summer school, but like opted, but then he like took like wood shop, whatever. I actually went to summer school.
What did you have to go for?
English. I fucked up junior year and I had to go to summer school.
Was it like all summer? Like every single day?
If I'm remembering correctly, it was probably 5 days a week for like maybe a month.
Oh,
so
it's not too bad, I guess.
I had to go. It was a different school, so I had to go to like a bigger school. So there was nobody that I knew there, which was good. Yeah. But I had to go. I just like junior year, I just had like, I don't know what happened. Like I didn't have much motivation. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I probably just didn't do my homework. I probably just didn't study.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's a main motivator as to, like, what happened with me senior year, which, like, I've told you the story before how, like, senior year, like, our school essentially said, like, if you get all A's, then you don't have to take finals. Well, I never wanted to go to summer school again. And number two, I didn't want to take finals. So I got high honor roll, straight A's in all my classes senior year. So it did do me good. But summer school, it's for the only the bad people, badass people. I'm so badass going to summer school.
Yeah.
With
I'd
all the
not
other
be badass
than with all the other degenerates.
Yeah, so Eric goes to see Feeny in Feeny's office, and he immediately says, like, he cheated, and Feeny asks who gave him the answers. Eric lies, and he said it was a guy from last year. I'm surprised Feeny doesn't change up the test every single year, and not only that, but give each kid a different test so they can't cheat off of each other, right? Don't you feel like Feeny's
that type? Oh, yeah, no, there was definitely, like, A test, B test, C test, D test.
Yes.
Absolutely. He would. But
he definitely
for the
would.
Sake
but
of the story.
Yeah, for the sake of the story, he didn't.
Yeah.
And Feeny is like, Feeny says he knows Eric doesn't believe in himself and only he sees himself as average. But like he knows that Eric is capable of getting good grades.
Yeah.
And Eric just is like basically like super down on himself. He's like, I don't understand why you don't like just realize that I can't do it. Like I don't have it in me. I'm just a guy who looks good. I can't get good grades. I'm not smart.
Never going to get an A, never going to make honor roll. That's who I am. Like, I might as well accept it. And yeah. then Feeny says, the only thing that limits you is your laziness. Like, I believe that you're capable of more. And, like, he kind of, like, gets into, like, his whole Feeny thing. It's like, you know, it's not just about grades. It's just also about, like, the importance of certain places, which, like, he lost me on here. I'm like, Feeny, like, focus on me. Like, come on. Like,
no, but I thought this was good because he's basically, like, bringing up, like, well, the beaches that you want to go with all the nudie girls, like, they wouldn't be allowed to do that if it wasn't for, like, this war and blah, blah, right. blah. Like, he relates it back to what Eric wants to do. Yeah. And this is when Tori comes in. And Tori, the idiot that she is, fully doesn't even wait for Feeny to finish his sentence and totally yeah. admits to giving Eric the answers.
Yeah, this reminds me of the whole, like, weenie thing of Sean. Like, same mistake.
Yep. And I love, like, this is probably, I think my top Feeny moment still is probably the conversation between Corey and Feeny in Father Knows Less. But I think this is, like, a rival for, like, close second. I just really loved Feeny here because he's basically, like, Tori says, how could you do this to me? And Feeny's like, how could you do this to him? You see no potential in Eric. Like, maybe you like him, but you certainly don't respect him. And I thought, like, gosh, I just loved the way that Feeny says that. You know what I mean? Yeah. The way he explains his points. And he asks her if she's the teacher type or the type who writes people off. And I love this next part where he basically just, like, shoves it back in her face and makes her see how she made Eric feel when he says, this is what I get for selecting a pretty girl as a teaching assistant. I should think you more than most would want to see this man succeed. Because she's a pretty girl and people underestimate her because of it, just like
Absolutely.
Eric.
Like, she should theoretically relate to Eric and see the potential in Eric because she mm-hmm. probably dealt with similar things. Like, mm-hmm. this girl is obviously very intelligent, so she probably gets written off all the time. Like, so basically, Feeny decides not to fire her because she says that she's learned something. And Feeny says that he does that because he doesn't like to write people off, just like Eric. And Eric's like, you're a good teacher. And Feeny's like, you're smarter than you look. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in summer school. Mm-hmm. I wish Eric heard this more. Like, if only we got this Eric for the rest of the series and continue to see him grow his potential of what he could become instead of dumbing him down. I personally would like it. I think that, like, a lot of the dumb Eric shit is just for cheap laughs.
It is.
And I think that we could have still gotten, like, you know, like, blonde girl Eric, you know what I mean? Like, the blonde stereotype where you're, like, kind of a dummy, but, like,
he can still, like, do dumb things but be smarter deep down. Or,
yeah, like, if Eric became, like a Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde, like,
yes,
like, that would have been, like, brilliant. Like, you know, seems like she's a dummy but works really hard and, like, becomes greater than she can ever understand because she hadn't met her fullest potential at that moment.
100%. And I think that, like, the only other Eric standout episode in my mind that I can think of right now is the weatherman one, where he, like, decides he's gonna, like, drop out to become a weatherman. But I really, like, love this episode for Eric, and I love the Feeny Eric stuff. Like, I think that like, it's really nice for them to branch out and do different pairings that we don't usually see.
Yeah, and I think that this opens up a door to what we'll eventually see as, like, a close bond between Feeny and Eric. But this is, like, you know, if it wasn't for this episode, then we wouldn't have never gotten, like, Feeny.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have happened.
All the good nuggets. And, like, again, well, let's get into the end scene. Because, again, another great nugget that starts here is Topanga comes back in and she's like, I've solved the great mono mystery. Steve Nelson sneezed on Corey and gave him mono. Corey's disgusting. Like, oh, but I made out with, like, this girl for a really long time. And Topanga finally admits that she likes Corey. And I love the line, now you like me or what? And then Corey pretends to fall asleep and she's like, I hate you. And she leaves. Yeah. I'm like, Corey, what a douche. Come on.
I know. But he's like, I think I handled that pretty well.
What an idiot. What an idiot.
Yeah. So I like this from her too. Yeah. Like this episode was a good, like, setting the scene for things to come in the future. I really liked this episode. Yeah, it was a really, really good episode.
I wasn't expecting to like it so much, to be honest. Like, because of, like, the last two episodes we watched, I was just, like, really, like, meh on them. Yeah. These two, I felt, were so strong. Yeah. These two, I felt, were so strong. And I felt like I really, really appreciated them taking the time to be like, you know what? We love Corey. But, like, let's focus on Eric. And then let's focus on Sean. And yeah. I really appreciated them, like, rounding out those characters more. I mean, obviously, we already knew a ton about Sean. But I felt like this these two episodes were more, like, serious in a different way.
Yeah. Hey, Sarah. I know you've been really into reading lately. And you've gotten me into it as well.
Yeah, well, you know what? Book of the Month made it really easy because Book of the Month offers just a few new selections every month, saving readers the hassle of figuring out what to read. One of the biggest deterrents for me is that, like, when I go to the library, there's, like, thousands and thousands of books, and I'm like, I don't even know what to pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. They focus on new and emerging authors, which means these are books that we probably wouldn't have found out about otherwise, which is super nice.
Yeah, and we also I love having a really aesthetic bookshelf, and the books that we got, it was like beautiful, high quality hardcover books plus free shipping, which came really quickly.
Love free shipping. You and I both chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which is a thriller about a missing girl. And I really couldn't put it down. I think I read it in about a 48-hour time period. It had twists. It had turns. Kept me guessing the entire way through up until the very last page.
So tell me what you liked about the book then.
It was really good, and I'm excited to dive into the other book that I have. But the great thing is, Sarah, is that listeners can sign up for Book of the Month to discover new emerging authors by going to bookofthemonth.com and using code PETALS for just $5.
Wow, what a deal. Check out Book of the Month Club for all of your reading needs.
Yeah, seriously. Every month you could get a new group of books that you just, you know, fall in love with. So go to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS for just $5 and enjoy reading.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So let's get into episode 19, which was The Wrong Side of the Tracks.
Yes.
It's a good title, too. Good name for it.
Yeah.
We start off in the hallway. A girl named Jill is saying yes when Sean asks her out. They're, like, all, like, smitten and cute. Mm-hmm. And Jason and Eric are, like, making fun of Sean and Corey, as always.
Yeah. I mean, this is apparently, like, a different tier or a different type of girl for Sean. Like, she's more, like, she has style. She has elegance. Sean jokes that she has both her parents. So, but, yeah. So, we get this weird thing how Eric and Jason decide that they see this girl in the halls, Valerie, who Eric wants to get with. And basically, all she does in her free time is she skates. She's an ice skater, which is totally a true thing because I used to know somebody that was training to be an ice skater. And she spent all of her time at the rink. Like, it really is. Like, this girl went preschool before school at like 7 a.m. to skate.
Oh my gosh.
And then would go to school. And then after school, she would skate. Like when you're an ice skater, it's a very expensive sport, by the way. But also it's, you need dedication. And
I think it's
need...
like gymnastics and stuff, right? It's just like really intense.
Yeah, exactly. So this totally tracks. So basically Jason lies and says that Eric knows how to skate so that he can get the girl. And to get the date, he says, like, you know, I can skate. Like, let's hang out at the skating rink on Friday. So, of course, Eric has is put into this position where he does not know how to skate. But he has to, like, figure out how to skate in, like, 4 days so that he can go on this date with this girl, Valerie.
Right. And Jason's like, Canadian skate? How hard can it be? Jason, you're an idiot, by the way. We love Canadians.
Yeah, this was
here.
Like... this is like, I don't know why, but there was like a humongous like period of time when all we did was make fun of Canadians in our media, and I have no idea why. Like, they're like the nicest people.
Exactly, they're so nice. I don't know why. Yeah, we're a pro Canadian podcast.
We are a very pro Canadian podcast. So we got Turner. I guess Corey is over his mono, and they're now getting an assignment where they have to write a biography on anybody.
Right, someone they admire, I think.
Right.
And Topanga's writing about Katie Couric. Corey wants to write about Captain Kirk. and Turner says it has to be someone real. So, of course, Corey and Sean decide to write about each other, because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever... walked your dog to Katie Couric, Jessica? This is a this is a reference to the pilot episode of Dawson's Creek.
Yes, ridiculous. I know that in high school we had to have, like, in senior year in English, we did like a senior project, and it was like a binder, and every chapter was something about your life, and I think one of the chapters was like someone you really admire, and I'm pretty sure I wrote about my mom. Like, I think it was like a given that that's who I would write about.
That's
nice. It was just like one chapter. It wasn't like a full-blown essay type of thing.
Yeah, that sounds very nice.
But yeah, I wouldn't have picked a fictional character, and I definitely wouldn't have picked Katie Couric. But
yeah, no Captain Kirk for you. No, you're not a Trekkie. You don't like tribbles.
Nope, not for me. We're in the cafeteria now, and Jill basically just comes up to LaShawn, and she's just like, oh yeah, we can't, you know, we can't go out. And he like asks her why, and she just won't answer. So Corey goes up to Mindy, who actually is the same girl that like called or had a binder that said that girls were like icky. And Corey asks Mindy why Jill broke it off with Sean. And Sean is standing right there. And Mindy's just like, has no problem saying that Jill and Sean don't belong to the same circle. His family, where they live, what they do, yuck. Like, Mindy is a full-on
bitch. Ew.
Yeah.
I don't like that, Mindy.
No, nobody does. So basically Sean was like all down on himself, and he's like, yeah, I live in a trailer park, like nobody likes me. And Corey's just trying to like cheer him up, but it's really just like not working.
No, it's like, it's honestly, it really is a huge blow to Sean's ego. Like, I don't think that Sean, like, obviously he knew what his family position was, but like he lived in a world like at school where he was still cool. Like, nobody really brought up the fact that he was on the other side of the tracks, essentially. Like, he was just seen as a cool kid. Like, obviously, we get the situation at Melissa's party where he was, like, not invited because he wasn't, like, a nerd or a geek. But he was also one of, like, tens of other students that weren't invited to the party because they weren't nerds or geeks. So I think this is the first time where he realizes that people know of... like his family outside of school. Like, I think that he uses it, like, he doesn't obviously talk about it, so he probably uses it as like a shield at school.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a cool kid. Like,
100%, you
know,
yeah.
And this is like the first time where like people know, and I think it was like a real like blow to his ego, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. And we're back at the Matthews residence. Eric demands Jason help him learn how to skate. And then we see Corey and Sean are trying to do their project. And Sean keeps comparing his life to Corey's. Like, Corey always grew up in a house and Sean was in a trailer park. You know, Corey had like a pool or like a sandbox, and, you know, Sean played out like in the backyard in like a gross shed or something.
A Chevy. So he like had, there was like an old broken down car and he used to like play in the car. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Sean invites Corey to dinner, but his dad apparently cooks fish on the engine of his truck, and it gets
because
like
they don't have a grill.
Yeah, so it's like, and you know, so Corey doesn't really want to go, and I think Sean is more upset, kind of realizing that like Corey just has it so much better than Sean does, and so like he feels like Corey must think what everybody else thinks about him. So he kind of just like runs off, and he, you know, he's upset.
Yeah, Corey should probably just have eaten the antifreeze salmon. Probably, that was probably for the better.
Probably, yeah. And we're back at school, and Sean missed first period. He was too busy flooding the library, and he freed all the rats in the lab. And he set the clocks ahead 12 hours, which is ridiculous because they're not like digital clocks. They don't have AM, PM. They're just regular clocks, so it didn't do anything.
It's a mess. Like, I mean, he definitely like caused some trouble, and like Feeny's like in his rain boots, and he's like, Jan or Bud, we got to get the big mob. Like, he did like cause some havoc, and he did this so that Harley and his friends can notice him.
Right.
And they can bring him in to be part of the, like, I don't want to say thugs because I don't really like that word. I would more so say like
the bad kids. Yeah, bad kids. Yeah. And here's the thing. It's a new Harley. No explanation. Okay, let's just throw this guy in.
Okay. So I do have some explanation onto what happened here. So this is the only episode that Harley was played by a different character other than Danny McNulty. This is played by Kenny Johnston, and it's the only episode. So what happened was that McNulty revealed recently, like when they aired Girl Meets World, that in this episode, he had basically a breakdown. Like, he was diagnosed or undiagnosed with bipolar disorder. So he had a breakdown in the middle of the episode, and they had to replace his character like mid-episode. And so he was replaced in this one episode, unexplained. We don't know why. Like, we personally don't know why. Now we know why, because I'm telling you. And after this, they were able to write in that Kiner got sent to reformatory school.
Right.
So after McNulty was better, he came back for one last appearance in Boy Meets World as Harley. And their explanation was, like, Harley escaped from reform school. And then we see him again, of course, in Girl Meets World. So this is a personal issue. They had to think fast on their feet and cast him, like, recast him in one episode. And then he came back, but we only see Harley in Boy Meets World, I believe, one other time.
Gosh, that must have been really tough. That's crazy. Yeah, poor guy. Oh, my gosh. Well, hopefully, I mean, obviously, if he was in Girl Meets World recently, he's doing better. But, like, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I had no idea. Like, I was watching this. I was like, is this supposed to be a different bully? Like, and then, like, later in the episode, they kept referring to him as Kiner. And I was like, okay, so this is what we're doing. This is a little strange.
Yeah,
and then I looked into it, and this is the research that I uncovered.
Wow. So Sean wants to be in their group, and Corey's like, those guys aren't going to help you. Like, I don't understand why you're trying to be with them. And Sean is basically just like, this is who I am. Just like, let me be who I am. I'm going to become this anyway. Just like, let me do it now. And he storms off, and Turner asks Corey, like, where is Sean going? Like, class is starting. And Corey's like, I wish I knew where he was going. Like, I don't understand what's going on with him.
Yeah.
Corey wouldn't understand, right? Like, he didn't grow up in the same experience Sean did.
And you, like, they're 13 years old. Like, you can't even expect him to look deeper into this issue, like, what actually is going on with him, because everything at this age is so surface level. Like, somebody tells you, like, they don't want to be friends with you anymore, then it's like, they don't like me anymore. Yeah. Like, they don't want to be friends with me anymore.
Yeah,
like,
Corey senses there's something else going on, but like, he doesn't really know exactly what it is.
He doesn't get it. Yeah, he really does not understand. And like, how can he? He's of privilege and
right. Yeah. Yeah, and that actually comes up in the next scene. So Corey is like asking Mr. Feeney questions while Feeney's gardening. He kind of explains what's going on with Sean. And Feeney's like, well, it's the whole nature versus nurture conundrum, because Corey asks, like, just because Sean grew up in this environment, does that mean he's going to, like, become a different person? And Feeney says he believes a man chooses his own path. Here's the thing. Like, while partly that can be true, there's also just, like, people who don't grow up with privilege aren't going to necessarily be able to live their full potential. It's much harder for people who don't grow up with a lot of money in poor neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Like, redlining is a thing. Without
support from your family.
Without any support. There's like, I mean, it's studies show that that's a thing, right? Like, Feeney is in 100% correct. And Feeney, of course, is coming from a place of privilege as well.
Right. Yeah,
so absolutely. It's nice to think that you can overcome obstacles and be whoever you want to be, because that's what we're taught as kids. But the reality of the situation is not that you can't, but it's that much harder.
Yeah. The thing that sticks out to me as a comparison is Lip from the show Shameless, who is presented to us in the show as a literal genius. He is extremely intelligent, but his background, his family, like his influence from his father, who is an alcoholic, and subsequently he becomes an alcoholic, gets in the way of his genius. Like, he had all the opportunity to become like a neuroscientist or some nonsense like that, or some sort of tech genius. And because of like everything in his like path or in his family in his past, got in the way. He was responsible
for taking care of his family as well. He had more responsibility than any like an average person.
Because
of his
Fiona,
age.
Who the eldest character, even though like she spent a lot of her life taking care of her family, because of that she slipped too. So any like good responsibility that she had, she kind of like rebelled when she was like 23, and she's like, "Why I never got to live my life? I was always a mother figure for like my six siblings. Now I'm gonna fuck off." And then the responsibility went to the second eldest, Lip. So it's like a very sad story. He was always my favorite story in Shameless.
Me too.
Full disclosure, I never finished Shameless.
I'm behind now, like whatever the most recent season is that came out. It got kind of bad, honestly.
It got bad. But like it's like his story to me was always the saddest, because he had the most potential to do whatever his mind wanted to do. Like, if he wanted to get out of this shitty situation in Chicago and become some rich scientist, he had all the like intelligence to do so, but because of his family and because of how he was raised and because of the opportunities that, like, he was given opportunities, but obviously
the alcoholism and the substance abuse and all of those other things held him back. And again, it's really nice to think that you can be anything you want to be and that you could do anything you want to do no matter what you grow up in, whatever your situation is growing up and all of that. But the reality of the situation is that it's so much tougher for people who live in you know, rougher environments. So I don't think Feeney doesn't have it all figured out, you know.
Right. I guess he thinks that I guess his perspective is like, even if you grow up from a rougher area, then you can, if you just work hard enough, then you can rise above it. Like, you can, like, but honestly,
and there are people who do, obviously, right? Like, not every successful person comes from a rich background, but it's that much harder. You know, you have to work 10 times as hard.
And somebody that's like Feeney, who is like, I'm going to work hard, and if I just work hard, then I'm going to succeed. Then, like, that's easy for somebody like Feeney. Cough, a Capricorn.
But seriously, yes.
But somebody that's more into, like, their head, it's harder to do so.
Yeah. The next scene, we're in the hallway. Jason gives Eric a subliminal learn to skate tape. This is so stupid. This whole side storyline is so dumb to me.
It got crazier and crazier, right?
It really did. So whatever, who cares? Joey and Frankie are teaching Sean how to look. Joey sends him off for bagels. And Corey's been looking for Sean. And this is where we kind of get them really, you know, getting into it, Corey and Sean. Sean says they're different. They're going to end up in different places. He knows who he's going to be. So just let him get there now. And Turner's watching all of this. And Turner kind of steps in. And I thought it was interesting that Turner chooses to approach Harley instead of Sean here. He's like, cut the kid a break. I don't want to see him hanging out with you. Or, you know what I mean? You're going to be in deep trouble if I see him hanging out with you again. And I thought it's interesting that he approaches Kiner and not Sean in this situation.
It's a bad move from Turner because Harley doesn't take Turner seriously. And this just, like, makes him even more angry. Like, I don't even think that it would have worked if he went to Sean either. Like, I don't know what Sean, like, would have needed to get out of the situation besides, like, what ultimately happened. But he just puts himself on Harley's radar.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Kiner, like, in the moment, like, lets it happen, but you know it's not going to go well for Turner in the long run. I think it's better off if he goes to talk to Sean, but maybe Sean doesn't even listen either. We, you know, I don't think he was in the right headspace to be, like, taking advice at that moment. So now we're at the Matthews residence again. We see Eric, like, sleeping, and he's dreaming of learning to skate. This is his inner rink. He can skate now, and food has no power over him. So stupid. This whole side plot to me was a waste of time, because I'd rather just I wish the whole episode was focused on Sean, to be honest. I didn't need this, like, comedic relief of Eric learning to skate.
Well, I guess the whole thing was that we got Nancy Kerrigan, who is a Olympian, onto the show to do this dream sequence with Eric.
I suppose, but, like, I didn't recognize, like, I needed to hear her name to, like, know who the hell she was.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think that in the 90s, I think that she was very, very well known, especially with the controversy with Tanya Harding. Yeah. So I think that it's, like, if Nancy Kerrigan's on your show, then you know who Nancy Kerrigan is.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Like,
yes,
she
yes,
was
yes.
huge. This happened. So the attack happened in 1994. This is 1995. This is a year after. Nancy Kerrigan is 110% a household name at this point.
Yeah, so, that's very funny.
Once again, Nancy Kerrigan was on the lot of ABC, and they said, hey, Nancy Kerrigan, how can we get you to skate on our show? And this is the concept that they came up with. So stupid.
So it's the next morning, and Corey and Alan are talking. He realizes Corey's upset, and Alan basically says that, you know, maybe he's really not angry with you. Maybe he's just trying to push you away because he needs you the most right now. I mean, that tracks. Like,
this is sound advice. Whenever somebody does some irrational behavior that you can't quite understand why they're acting this way, 9 out of 10 times they're doing it because there's something else going on below the surface.
Gotta say, I'm impressed with Alan here. I think this is, like, a really good. I love when he gives his, like, fatherly advice. We haven't seen much from Amy lately, but Alan's been on the ball, I think. We're in the parking lot, and Harley basically wants Sean to hit Turner's motorcycle with a bat. Sean obviously doesn't want to do it. I feel like he knows that Turner's, like, looked out for him in the past, and, like, of all the people, I feel like this is the last person he'd want to, like, and plus his bike has just got fixed by his uncle.
So. Yeah, exactly. It seems like a lot of, you know, counteractive behavior.
Exactly. And Corey walks in on them. Corey takes the bat and says he'll go first. You know, Sean's like, you're not supposed to be here. This isn't for you. I belong here. You know what I mean? You don't belong here. And Corey's like, if you belong here, I belong here, which is just another version of, if you're a bird, I'm a bird. Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I thought of when I heard that. If you're a bird, I'm a bird, Corey. And Corey stands up to Harley, which was, like, pretty ballsy. He says, take your greasy head and your rat-faced thug and get out of here.
Oh, boy. Whoa. Yeah. I mean, he's already, number one, I don't know why Harley is so offended by being called greasy. Like, he knows what he looks like.
Right? You look in the mirror every day, right, Harley?
Joey's literally called Joey the Rat. Sitkino. Mm-hmm. So, oh no, that's Frankie Sitkino. Joey the Rat. So it's like, what? This is, these are like very known insults. So I don't know. It's not that bad to me. But, you know, Corey's basically like, you can punch me. Like, that's fine. Get your good punch in. Turner shows up, says, mm-hmm. like, I've been looking through the window. Like, I know that you're, like, there was, like, somebody that was about to, like, fuck up my bike. Mm-hmm. And Harley runs off with her, his thugs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we get this another tiff between Corey and Sean.
Right. And basically, like, Sean says he's a low life, but Turner's like, low lives don't have friends like Corey. And I love these lines from Corey. Because Sean's like, I don't even know who I am. And Corey's like, I know who you are. You're Sean yeah. Hunter. You were raised by wolves and you're my friend. And I love that because I think, like, especially at the age they're at, like, you really are trying to discover who you are anyway. And it's so much rougher when you're Sean and you're, like, someone says that you're, like, a bad influence or you're from the wrong part yep. of town.
Yep.
And I think, like, you're trying to discover who you are. And I feel like it's harder when you have people, like, thrusting these images on you of, like, no, trying to tell you, like, this is who you are. You're only from – you're only – basically where you're from, and that's all there is, that's all I need to know about you. And it really gets into Sean's head, and I love Corey just reminding him, like, that's not who you are. Just because you live there doesn't mean you're going to turn out to be like Harley and his friends. Like,
exactly,
you're Sean, you're my friend. I wouldn't be friends with someone who smashes up Turner's bike. That's not who you are.
Right. Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot too. So basically, Turner's a really good mediator, mm-hmm. and he's like, you know, low life, so have friends like Corey. And then Sean's like, am I going to be all right? And, like, basically, like, Turner's like, you know, you have Corey, like, Corey's like your friend, you have me, I hope that I can teach you everything that I can teach you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if deep down you don't think you're okay, you're all right, then I haven't taught you anything at all. But Sean needs to hear it. And then Turner says, you know, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. If you put your mind to it, get back into school. Never go near, like, that Harley or my Harley ever mm-hmm. again. Then you're going to be all right. And then Corey asks Turner, do you really think Sean's going to be okay? And then Turner says, he says, sure. But mm-hmm. it's like, just say yes.
Yeah, just whatever. Say yeah. Don't, say yeah. Yes. Don't, sure. You gotta be full on. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I love this scene. I love Turner coming in, and I love, like, the interactions between Turner and Sean always. And I just think, like, it's such a good setup for what we know is going to happen in the future.
Yeah, and then very near future.
Yes. And then, like, this, they have to end. I would have loved if they just ended it here. I thought it was, like, a perfect ending to the episode. But we have to get the stupid skating rink scene in. where, like, we see the results of Eric using the tape, and basically he's really good at skating, but then of course he has a problem with food. Food has no power over me. Dessert is the enemy of my hips. He can't even say the word food.
Yeah, okay, whatever. And then
no one cares.
He runs off. Jason swoops in with his two chili dogs, and yeah. you see, like, Eric gets peeking through.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares?
So stupid. No one cares. I would have liked it if they left it on the other note, honestly. I think that was a more powerful moment, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Loved both of these episodes. Again, I think we kind of talked about it a lot, but, like, I really love diving into Sean and Eric on a deeper level.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
And this is the big setups for what's coming up. So really, really enjoyed both of these episodes way more than I thought I was going to. So,
yeah, I think that we're going to end season two on a high note. I think mm-hmm. that these are probably, like, the cream de la crop of the episodes in these last. This is episode 19. So this is a 24 episode season. We have 5 episodes left. So I think 4 episodes left. 5 episodes left. I think that we're going to leave on a good note. And yeah, I mean, like we've been discussing, like, this, there hasn't been that many high highs in this season overall. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm still leaning towards preferring season one, surprisingly, over season two, which I would not have anticipated. But
same. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the nature of the game. Like, there was so many high highs in season one, and these were like a ton of like meh episodes and like a ton of like amazing characters that like we saw come in for like an episode or two. And that's like what was exciting about season two. But we have like 4 to 5 episodes left. Whatever mathematician can figure that one out for me, that would be splendid.
We have 4 episodes left.
4.
Mm-hmm.
20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 5.
No, there's only 23 episodes.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I tried.
Yes. So, yeah, those were really great episodes. Do we have any feedback to get into before fashion? Awa.
Nope. Okay. Not today. Not today. But if you would like to send in feedback, you can always send in feedback at shit90spod@gmail.com or at shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram.
Wonderful. Let's get into fashion hour. Fashion hour. Okay. So, Rachel Green Award for today. I mean, the minute I saw this outfit, I was like 100% going into the Rachel Green Award. Yep. It is Tori. Of course it's Tori. She's wearing high-waisted, light-wash jeans. A white shirt is tucked into them. And also, they're very distressed in like the knees. They have like rips.
Yeah.
A white shirt tucked into the jeans, and over top of that is a long sleeve white tee, I should say. And over top of that is a really like wide knit crochet, light pink long sleeve V-neck shirt. That's like a crop top kind of. Her hair is parted down the middle, long and straight. And she has a cross body, very small brown purse. I definitely had like, I don't know if I had this purse, but it was very similar.
Yeah.
And she's wearing what I think are like black booties or something like that. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed this outfit right away, too. I think it's adorable. I really, really love this outfit. I like this texture on her crop sweater. It's almost mm-hmm. like a waffle knit. Could even almost be timeless, but definitely. And that's only because the 90s fashion is coming back.
A crop top is definitely in right now. I think the stretch jeans
and
are back.
These jeans. So,
but not quite. I don't know about a white wash. I still don't like a light wash. I'm resisting the light wash, honestly.
No, but the kids are. The kids are.
The kids are.
So, yeah, love this outfit. As soon as I saw it, I knew I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Next up, I had to put Sean in, and this is from episode 18, I should say. Obviously, Tori was also from episode 18, but this is Sean's outfit from episode 18. He is wearing a dark brown, kind of like a baggy pant, a white cream Henley over top of that. Again, more layers and more layers. Over top of that is a mustard button-down shirt with a pocket. Like a chest pocket. And then over top of that is a green and brown striped vest. I chose this because of the vest. And because mm-hmm. I think Sean looks good in mustard too, honestly.
Yeah, he does.
But just like the layers and the fact that he had to have a Henley. I mean, these kids must have been sweating every single day they shot the show.
Right, yeah, because they're filming in California. So.
Yeah, so many layers.
So many layers.
And obviously Sean's hair is the way Sean's hair always is. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the vest, absolutely. Sean loves a vest, which I think we don't talk about a lot because, I mean, we don't really like vests, but he's always mm-hmm. wearing, like, a vest. So it's definitely within, like, season two Sean style. Tons of layers, cargo pants. It's, you know, it's a vibe.
Yes, absolutely. So I only had the 2 for the Rachel Green Award this week. I actually have 3 for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness. So nothing really stood out to me. I almost picked Tori's other outfit, but I was like, okay, we really don't need that.
Yeah, that green outfit was so cute, actually.
Yeah, I did like it, but I only chose the one.
You know, I will be giving it to Tori just because I just love this outfit. It's something that I noticed right away when I watched this episode.
100%. It was the first thing that caught my eye the minute I saw her come into the scene. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit. We're starting off here with something that could arguably also go into the Rachel Green Award category, but I do think something about a denim jacket to me is always going to be timeless. So this is Topanga's outfit from episode 18 when she goes to visit a sick Corey. She is wearing a gray, what I believe is a maxi dress. It's hard to tell from the image, but a gray maxi dress with a lot of florals. So like a lot of sunflowers and pink flowers and blue flowers. It has these three or four big buttons on the front, like a V-neck, kind of with like lapels on it. And then she's wearing a light wash denim jacket over top of it. Her hair is pulled up, half down, kind of the way it has been all season. She has her bangs and she has like the curliness at the bottom. I mainly picked this because I do think that maxi dresses with denim jackets are actually pretty in right now.
They are.
So yep. I really Absolutely. Like this outfit. Also, I could totally see myself wearing this.
Yeah, it's like, it's pretty cute. Like maxi dresses, floral maxi dresses with denim jackets is absolutely in. This is like a great look for, especially going into summer and then transitioning into fall. Mm-hmm. Great, great look for even like a casual like barbecue or even like a super casual like wedding. I've seen people wear this type of outfit. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty timeless. I think that this could, it's coming back now and it could come back at any point, truly.
Absolutely. Next up, I picked, what was her name again? You said the name of the skater and I already forgot
Nancy
it.
Nancy Kerrigan. This Did you her- not see I, Tonya?
No, I don't know what I, Tonya is.
You should watch that. That's a great movie.
This is her outfit from The Skating Dream. She's wearing like very tight, what I chose to assume were like yoga pants / yeah. like leggings.
Yeah.
Reason I chose this outfit was because her sweater, oh my gosh, if I could steal that off her body, fucking snatch that shit up, I would. Because that is like, picture any romantic Christmas movie you've ever seen, like a Lifetime Christmas movie. Someone's wearing this sweater. It's a chunky cable knit, thick bitch fucking wool sweater, and she's wearing like a mock turtleneck type of black turtleneck underneath it, and obviously skates. Her hair looks pretty naturally curly, half up, half down, and she has like some type of like pearl earrings, very like just normal like pearl studs. And yeah, love this outfit.
Yeah, I can totally recreate this outfit like literally right this second. I have all these components. Especially the pearl earrings. Yeah, I love this outfit. Like, I think like the everything about it's timeless. The black turtleneck is timeless. Black yoga pants / leggings is timeless. The sweater is very timeless. Pearls are arguably timeless. Like, I think this is a great outfit, and I really, really like it. It's perfect for winter or a Hallmark Christmas movie, whichever. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the last option I'm putting up here for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness is Alan's outfit, and this is in episode 19. He's in the kitchen. It's a very brief moment in the episode, but it, like, stood out to me as a different outfit than we normally see Alan in. Mm-hmm. He is wearing his normal, like, a light to medium wash denim jean with, like, what looked to be Converses, but he's wearing a white t-shirt, and on top of that, he's wearing kind of like a three-quarter zip sweatshirt. It's like a really nice green color, kind of like an olive, like a light yeah. olive green or like a light sage green. And it has like a chest pocket. He's wearing a watch. I just loved this sweatshirt. It looked so cozy.
Yeah, I really like this outfit from Alan. I think he looks really good. I like this color on him. I think it goes beautifully with his skin tone. Mm-hmm. He's got like this nice gold watch. Yeah, like Zaddy Allen is always a Zaddy. He always looks good.
Zaddy Allen gonna Zaddy, 100%. So what are you thinking between these three options? We have Topanga, the skater girl, and Alan.
Oh, like, I so want to give it to Nancy Kerrigan, but it's such, like, a waste to give it to her. So,
yeah,
because it's like, obviously, Nancy Kerrigan's never come back again. And I kind of want to put, like, my finger on the pulse of our numbers for the ultimate winner. So I shall give it to Zaddy Allen because he's always a Zaddy to me.
He is a Zaddy. I just think I like that this outfit is so different than what we usually see him in. Like, he's always wearing jeans, but I feel like we don't usually see him in this type of
sweater, sweatshirt. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. All right. So congratulations to Alan and Tori. They have won our awards this episode.
Woohoo.
So I really liked these episodes. I thought they were great. I'm looking forward to finishing up the season. We're barreling down the end here. We're almost there.
So we have one more double episode and then two individuals.
Right. Yeah. So just as a heads up for everybody coming up, we are covering. So next week we'll cover 20 and 21. And then we're going to slow down for the penultimate and the finale. So 22 and 23 will each have their own separate podcasts.
Yes. Booyah, booyah. You love it. You love it. So, so yeah, I'll just like give our little spiel on what we have going on. If you did not catch our appearance on our HAPS Reality Rewind podcast with Rob Sesternino and Chappelle covering the 90s to early 2000s show Blind Date, definitely to check that out. That's why we keep saying these random sayings that make no sense.
You love it.
So definitely check that out on our HAPS network. We also have, of course, our regular Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek content every single week. And then upcoming for bonus content, we already recorded. It was a lot of fun. Really liked it. Loved it. Love it. You love it. You love it. Coming out on Saturday the 8th, we're swinging in to Baseball May with a League of Their Own coverage with the great Grace Leader. It was, like I said before, it was great. It was, I loved it. I loved it. Booyah. I can't get it out of my head. I really can't. It's so annoying.
No, it was a great podcast. I'm really excited for you all to hear that because it was really, really fun to have Grace on. And we have more bonus content coming up this month, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned. You can find us at Shit Nighties Pod on Twitter and Instagram, at shitnightiespod@gmail.com if you want to send in any feedback.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, if you're on the Clubhouse, you can find me on the Club Hizzy on Fridays at 6 o'clock, the reality TV, our hap ups where we talk about pop culture stories of the week. It's always fun.
Absolutely. And I am over on Post-Show Recaps with Josh Wiggler every week talking about Community as we rewatch the series together, him for the first time, me for the multiple time with various guests. So join us over there. And also next week, we actually will be joined by a special guest. We will have on Touchdown Tommy, if you're familiar with him. The guy loves ranch. He's from the RHAP universe. And he also has his own podcast going over Ned's Declassified. He will be on with us next week. Really excited for that. So we hope you all enjoyed this podcast. Thank you all again for the 10,000 downloads. Huge, huge, huge achievement for us. We're super, super excited that we're finally here. And we're just going to keep cranking out content for you all to listen to. So next we'll be celebrating 20,000, hopefully maybe before the next 8 months.
Maybe. Only time will tell.
Yes. So thank you all for listening. Have a good one. Bye, everybody.
Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.